welcome to the Unpublished Podcast. My name is Amy.
I'm James.
And today we are going to talk about, how shall I word this? This is something that I've been thinking about a lot and I want to continue to think about and write about. But it's essentially looking at the way successful creatives, famous people, famous artists look at success and like retrospectively talk about success.
Yeah, because often they can be really big bummers about it, can't they?
I just feel like the predominant narrative that we hear is that these creatives seek success, and that when they get there, they're unsatisfied, they're hungry for more, and that success didn't leave them with anything special.
Yeah, and what that says to me usually is that this person has put no effort into doing any kind of internal work.
I agree.
They've put everything into achieving a goal, and let that be the work for them, let that be mental prep, just being like hustling
just
and trying really hard, yeah, and trying to achieve an external goal has been their drive for so long that they never thought about what it actually means.
Yeah. And I think it's a damaging story because I actually think that it gives a bad name to success, creative success in itself. And whereas I don't think there's nothing inherently wrong or depressing or unsatisfying about succeeding creatively. We're obviously talking about success here in very normative ways, but I don't think there's anything that it shouldn't be unsatisfying. It shouldn't leave you wanting more. Like, there are ways to prep for your creative success that mean that you can fucking love when you connect in the ways you want to connect, and you can feel so satisfied and so fulfilled when you reach your creative goals.
But do you think it has something to do with almost not putting that pressure on success, like almost taking the pressure off your success and thinking, and before you're successful, going, I have enough? Do you think that's important?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about now the million ways that you prep for success.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it is looking at I think it's very unique. We're all going to have different ways that we need to prep for success, and it will require us knowing and understanding who it is we are.
Because I kind of agree with the assessment that success isn't all that it's cracked up to be. I don't think success is the be all end all that important. I think it's like a nice to have. I think it's, obviously we all want to be successful. Being successful is can be really a great privilege and can be really enjoyable. But I think that I would argue that it's a truism that success is never going to be as good as you think it's going to be.
No, I don't like it. I don't like the story. I'm so done with it. I just think I think it's crap.
But I think because we build up success to be the cure-all, like the thing. So it's like, when I finally get my book deal, when I finally land a lead role in a Hollywood film, I'm going to be happy. And that's just...
That's not the way to look at it.
That's not the way to look at it, exactly.
No, I agree. But I still think you're wrong.
But I think the problem is that's how people look at it. So they go, oh, when I am successful, I will be happy, without ever actually trying to think about what the true causes of happiness are.
Exactly.
What satisfaction are.
Exactly. And that's the work that we have to do. There is so much work where creatives are out here prepping their asses off for failure, trying to protect themselves from failure, when the number one important thing for us to do is to prepare for success, so that when you get to connect with readers, or when you get to, you know, financial reward for your art, you can sit there and think, fuck yeah, this feels incredible. And I'm so proud of myself and I'm so delighted at this. And like, don't you think that's a very possible and real thing that could be achieved?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, but what you're saying there is that the only way to enjoy your success is to take the pressure off your success.
I'm not just talking about taking the pressure off success. I think I'm talking about a lot of different methods that we need to look at. I think pressure on success can be really bad for a lot of creatives, but I also don't think there's something inherently wrong with having a lot of pressure on being successful.
Yes, I just think there's a true story, which is that success doesn't magically make you happy.
No, it doesn't. You have to prep for it.
You
but it can.
It can make you happy if you've done the prep for it.
Yeah, but I'm just not hearing anyone say, like, I want to say right now, like, I have felt like I've had so many successes in the last few years, and they have been fucking delightful to experience. Watching my community grow, delightful, so rewarding, so exciting. Having my books be read by lots of people, having good reviews, incredible experience. I have been satisfied and delighted by my success. And who the fuck is saying this? I'm actually really annoyed and fired up about this. It just really pisses me off. And I feel like I've been listening to so many creatives recently. I was listening to Rita Ora. I was listening to Tom Holland. I was listening to some of those like big named celebrities and talking about their creative success. And they're just like, yeah, I feel empty inside. Ha ha. yeah, like I'm just not satisfied. I'm always going for the next thing. Like it's some sort of normalcy to find creative success and then to fucking hate yourself. And it just doesn't need to be this way.
No, I completely agree.
And I just think it's annoying and I find it patronizing. Mm. And I find that like Ryan Halliday does this too all the time. Yeah, so success is actually empty. It doesn't have to be empty. It can be fucking delightful. Mm. And this narrative needs to be told correctly so people don't get confused.
But Ryan Halliday does it in the Stoic sense, which is that you can never find external anything. No external force will ever make you happy in any way. You have to always find inner peace, which I do agree with. It's, and this is what this is wrong with these celebrities, is that they're going, I've put my whole life into an external goal rather than ever trying to find anything internally peaceful about it. And then they're glorifying it. Like they, like what Ryan Holiday is saying is that the biggest mistake you can possibly make is achieve success. You're not happy and you go, oh, well, I just didn't have enough success. And if I just keep getting, trying to get more and more success, then eventually that's going to make be what makes me happy. So these people encounter their first success. It doesn't make them happy. And they go, I just need to up the dose because they've never done any internal work. And I'm saying that the Stoic view of it is the only way to ever achieve any kind of satisfaction with your life is to first achieve it internally.
Yes.
And this is what
but it's mistranslated. Mm. And Ryan Halliday, I think, frequently mistranslates it. I think he says it in ways that are really easy to misconstrue. Like he's like, oh, you know, my life as a parent is far more satisfying than my life as any success I've had as a writer. And obviously that one's particularly triggering to me. But I'm like, why? Why is it like that? What stories have you got around your creative success? Why can't you enjoy it?
Yeah. I think that success can be incredibly enjoyable. And of course, like, I'm not saying that you can't enjoy your success.
I want to yell at you.
I feel like we're just really misunderstanding each other. Me like, too. Why don't you yell at me then? Because I don't understand what you're saying.
No, I don't. We are on the same page. We're using different language to express something, I think. Okay. And I also think this is something I felt hurt by, I think, in the past. I feel like I've heard from people who I look up to, like just so frequently, oh, it won't feel as good when you get there. And I'm like, but I really want this. And it feels so patronizing and demeaning. And like they're just like, oh, once you've got there, you'll realize it's not all that. And, you know, I feel like it's really mollycoddling and patronizing.
Yeah. But okay, I'm going to annoy you again here. But it is, I mean, once you do achieve something amazing, you do naturally often fall back to a baseline.
Of course, but that doesn't mean that you can't relish it and enjoy it.
Of course, yeah, I agree.
And I
feel satisfied in your success. And obviously,
I want to see more successful creatives in this world. And this is something I've been really focusing on, is that I want, you know, I feel like a lot of my mission here is to see successful creatives in this world. But I'm absolutely not okay with creating unhappy, successful creatives. I want delighted, joyful, abundant, successful creatives. And I want people to understand how to delight in success and to find it something that they can cohabitate with beautifully, rather than it's being this like mega disappointing, almost like point of like mental illness, like where everything falls before them and everything goes wrong after success.
Yeah, because if you achieve success and you are expecting that to solve all your problems, it is a recipe for disaster. That's why success is so damaging.
Okay, hold on. I was living a life where I waited on tables and I was so depressed and all I wanted to do was write books and all I wanted to do was create for a living. And when I was able to be successful and create for a living, like everything changed. Like that success was so important to me and it allowed me to live a life that I am so happy within, and I am so much more mentally healthy because of that success.
I agree, but you also did so much mental work on the side as well.
But it would be very hard for me to live a life where I'm not doing this.
Of course. And yes. And of course, like having money, having the ability to pursue projects you want to pursue, those are legitimately amazing things. And then I think that the issue is often people expect like an award or a certain dollar figure. Like I'll be unhappy until I get $1.5 million.
Yeah, and that's some of the work we've got to look at.
And then those really objective measures of success that people think are going to be the best part, but actually it's more in the subjective things that success brings you. Like the reason we are way happier now is because we get to set our own schedule.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to rely on someone else for money.
Yeah.
Because we can pursue projects that we want to pursue. These are the things that success brings us. So like the trappings of success are what really delights me.
Yeah, I agree. I get to create. I get to keep going with the process. I get to live life on my own terms. And that is the gift that success gives me.
I wonder if sometimes these people like I think you were saying, I didn't listen to the podcast, but you were saying Rita Ora was talking about often these, especially musicians, I think, and actors, so they are so reliant still on gatekeepers. Very. So they don't have any, like, success doesn't bring them, actually breaks their autonomy. They get less autonomy when they're successful. So they don't get any of the magical things that we have gotten from our success.
Yeah, so they keep hunting for that next thing, they hoping might have, it might solve
they
it.
They might have money, but their day is blocked out to the minute.
I often find that these creatives, Tom Holland and Rita Ora in particular, are literal overnight successes. So they were plucked out of obscurity by gatekeepers and given, obviously they're both incredibly talented, but like they had more of an overnight success than what a lot of creatives nowadays are having, because we can do it without gatekeepers. And I think that can lead to a deep amount of unhappiness because they never chose themselves. Like, this is the conversation I really wanted to have. I just got a little bit fired up because I don't know, I feel like I'm always in trouble for being an ambitious woman and for being an ambitious creative. And I feel like, you know, I'm being told, you know, between the lines through a lot of the media that I consume, that I'm chasing something shallow or I'm chasing something that's going to eventually disappoint me. But and yet every time I feel success or experience success, I feel delight and happiness. And I'm like, why isn't anyone talking about this? And it makes me actually feel like close to tears. Like, it really frustrates me.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, of course it does.
Do you think I'm being a bit deranged?
No, not at all.
Do you have something to say?
No, not really. All I have to say is that I think you have an incredibly healthy view of success. And what I'm saying is that most people are fucking idiots. Sorry. And they haven't spent any time. Not you. Listen
not
to
you.
This. Most of these big celebrities are fucking idiots. And you're right, because they things happen too quickly, because they have to go from nothing to getting recognized, walking down to the local corner shop overnight, and it's like,
and
holy
often
fucking
very
shit.
Young, very yeah. young.
And okay, I think so, that's a really unhealthy, toxic environment. And obviously, it's very different to what you're pursuing.
Yes.
Like, you're not, I just think, and people who think that that big break is going to be what makes them happy.
It's never a good sign.
That really big break. Yeah, I think.
I know that if I'd been given a publishing deal when I was desperately trying to get a publishing deal, I thought it was going to solve all my problems.
And that's what I mean. It's these people who go, finally, you know, I've finally been picked by a gatekeeper. I'm now going to be happy. And then they go, oh, there are all these other problems that are coming up because I've been picked by a gatekeeper. Whereas now, whenever you get it, when you get success, I feel like it's happened gradually enough. It's happened over time enough that it's this slow building of momentum. And I don't know, it just feels like you have more time to adapt.
But if something successful happened to me quickly, I also feel like I would still be delighted. But I don't think it's the suddenness that makes it.
Yeah, I agree.
Unpalatable.
Yes.
Okay, I think this is actually just a really complex topic.
I agree.
And I've come in a bit hot.
No, you've been nice.
Okay.
Actually restrained yourself a lot.
I
know
have.
You wanted
I, for some reason, really wanted
me.
To cry, which makes me think of it like there's something to this I need to unpack. I think I felt really foolish and silly for a very long time for being so driven by perhaps, like, I even feel like ashamed to say, like, right now, like, more traditional versions of success. Yes. I feel ashamed for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like from everyone that I admire, they always say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. When, like, I found it to be delightful and mean a lot to me. It feels mean.
Of course. But once again, all I want to argue again, I feel like I'm a broken record, is that what those people are looking for is a moment, one moment that's going to change their life and make everything better. And then they get to the other side and they are still them.
Yeah, of course. Like, you know, you take yourself on holiday, you take yourself through creative success. It's not like you change to be somebody else.
No, you're still yourself. You're the same person on the other side.
Big movie role or anything. Yeah, we have to do the work. And that's what I really wanted this podcast to be about.
Of course.
So how do you make sure that when you get the incredible success that you and your art deserves, how do you make sure that you are in the space to delight in it and to enjoy it and to use it to your benefit and to just indulge, because you deserve to. Like, you deserve to enjoy success.
Yeah, of course you deserve to enjoy success.
But you have to work for a little bit.
You have to work for in that you have to prepare.
And that's what you should be doing right now. No matter if you've had a lot of success before or if you haven't, like, we should be constantly preparing ourselves so that when things go right, and it will, things do go right, you know, it happens. Things go wrong too. But when things go right, are you going to be in the space to be able to relish it?
And also, I think being in the right headspace when things do go right gives you a better opportunity to take advantage of them going right.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to be suddenly freaking out.
The imposter syndrome.
Exactly.
All
these things.
Okay, so what ways, I'm going to ask you this, what ways do you think you need to better prepare yourself for your imminent and inevitable success?
Well, I think that really, what I really hope is that the systems I've built up for myself creatively would carry over into having more success.
Because yes.
I think something that I'd be really worried about would be the pressure.
Yes.
Once I had been, had some success, say once my work was out there, once people liked it, I would feel like I would be susceptible to the pressure of delivering something else.
Yeah.
And I would hope that my routines that I already have would just stay in place. But I know they wouldn't, but I hope that...
Why wouldn't they?
Well, because I know... Because you can't expect everything to just go perfectly.
No, but they you don't have a perfect routine right now. Like, you have an imperfect way of showing up pretty consistently.
I know, and I know that if I found success, that would be buffeted. Yeah. My routine would be buffeted, and being okay with that. And having a strong enough routine and a strong enough inner power to find my way back to my routine and to make sure my routine stays in place and to just be okay with doing things the way that I want to do it.
Yeah, you'd have to honor the fact that this is the way books that you write are written, and this is how it happens, and it has to happen this way. Yeah.
And also, I mean, I feel like the way that I handle our success in the business is like that. Is I think when we have a win, or when we enjoy the fruits of it, we enjoy the extra time we have, we enjoy the extra money that we have, but then we just sort of get back into routine.
Well, we have to create.
Yeah. And you just get back to work and you do it because you enjoy the process, and it's all process. I mean, for me, it has to be process driven. Like, everything we do is all process driven. You know, we haven't changed really the way we do things from when you were making $0 to now us making a decent living.
Mm.
We haven't changed anything really. Like, some of our tactics change, maybe. Like,
strategy changes.
But not our macro.
The way we create doesn't really change.
Well, no, so tactics stay, our tactics change, but our strategy doesn't.
Interesting.
So, like, tactics being, I mean, there's this old analogy in war, which is, or saying in war, which is that amateurs talk tactics and professionals talk logistics.
Mm.
And I feel like our logistics haven't really changed. Like, the way we structure our day.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, or more like our general philosophy towards creating hasn't really changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And our general philosophy, I don't feel like we've let the pressure get to us in any way of success. Yeah. Like, we haven't been hung up on, is our next course going to be better than the last one? Is our next book going to be better than the last one? It's just, we just have the same routine that we just get on with.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And we love it. So why would we change it?
Yeah.
And it works as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder some of the stuff that I need to focus on. I think I know, knowing that even, you know, if success came to me and I had a lot of pressure upon me to create in a certain way or show up in a certain way, that I, again, just had this knowing of who I am and what I'm doing, that I do it my way, and that I had the ability to advocate for myself. I think that's something that you would also want to be able to do. Like, no, this is how I do it. And this is how my books get written. This is how my business is run. And this is how it's worked for us. And I'm the authority on this journey. I'm the creative. And I think too often when you see creatives become very successful, particularly within gatekeeping spaces, they lose all their power because they're suddenly run by this big business who seem very powerful and who act very powerful and who you think you're reliant on. And I want to make sure, no matter where I am in success, that I am always only reliant on myself, and that, like, even if we are working with gatekeepers, that it's never, or like, it's never, if I lost them, I'd be okay, you know? Like, I have to work on my terms, and if you're not going to work on my terms, then blip.
I mean, that's why I think it's so important to build up your own leverage as well, right?
Yes.
You know, you need to, we have the leverage now where we, if we were picked up by a traditional publisher, we have the freedom to be like, well, you know what? We don't actually need you.
Yeah.
And we could walk away at any moment and it really wouldn't matter to us.
Yeah. It's not going to ruin our lives. And that's so much power. And I feel so much safer in that.
And I feel like gatekeepers can offer this, they talk a big game, you know, like, we are the literal gateway into success. And obviously, for those of you listening to this, I don't want to pretend that you're all in the privileged position that Amy and I are in, but I think this is why it is important to know, to have some confidence in your routine and confidence that even without a gatekeeper, you can keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Nothing should be pinned on that external. Your creativity and your creative abundance should never be pinned on something external.
Also, because they sell something huge to you, and they may not deliver. Like, they may not be capable of delivering what they promised to you. I think a lot of gatekeepers promise so much when they're bullshitting, essentially. So
yeah,
it's like,
I agree.
They're never in the position of power that they claim to be in, I think.
Yeah,
obviously, there's
I
some
agree.
Points where, you know, obviously you're not going to be able to make a $200 million superhero movie by yourself, but and you kind of need a backer for that. But there are other things you can do.
Yeah, definitely.
And gatekeepers promise you that you're going to be this huge star if you come with them, and everything's going to be taken care of, and finally you've been successful. But I think that they're just trying to sell you something.
Yeah, and use your art.
Mm.
And hopefully, you know, there are so many great people out there in gatekeeping who, you know, want more of a collaborative relationship. And I really hope that we can all find those really healthy collaborative relationships. But even within them, you've still got to recognize that you're the creator. You're the one that makes. You were the one that has the power. Without you, there is no art. And I think for so much of us, so we have to know that we have to know and sit in that power in order for success to feel safe. Because I think it can feel very tenuous and like it's going to be ripped away from us. And that deprives us of joy in success. That deprives us of feeling stable in success if we think constantly that it's going to be ripped away at any moment. We have to know that we have the power.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I think there are, I mean, I know, I've had this discussion a lot. There are so many different fears that come with being successful. And there are so many different ways that you have to make sure that you look at and unpack and rewrite stories around success. Like there's not a podcast long enough to talk about all the different ways in which creatives fear success. But do we want to talk about a few more, a few of the bigger ones?
Sure, sure. What do you have in mind?
One of the ones that I hear about a lot is I'm afraid that I'm going to make other people feel bad with my success. So there's a lot of guilt, a lot of I don't deserve this when we achieve something that's perhaps more publicly perceived as successful. Do they resent me? Do they hate me? This idea that once you've been awarded something that you don't deserve it, the imposter syndrome, like these are all big ones. Do you think you'd have a problem with that?
No.
That's good.
I don't think so. I think that I'm... Actually, this is sort of relates to something that I was going to say that I forgot to say because someone is monologuing a bit this episode.
I feel very passionately about this.
I feel like this is your episode and I'm very happy to cede it to you because I feel like you have a lot more thoughts here than me and that you are more informed than me on this.
Wow, finally.
I know. But what I was going to say was that I'm really glad that I wasn't successful, like super successful in my 20s because I felt like my 20s were very much defined by me making sure everyone was okay all the time.
Mm.
And maybe it's a little bit of unmasking, but now I just feel much more confident asking for what I want.
Yeah.
And being me, and I'm much more confident in my own personality and making my own demands and standing up for myself.
Mm.
And I think, which are things that I think, like now when we have I might have talked about this a week or two ago, but now when we have a big guest on our podcast, if I had done that interview when I was in my mid-20s, I would have been like, oh my God, how can I make sure this person is safe and comfortable? And obviously I still want to make sure that they're not threatened and they have a good time. And I never want anyone to feel bad about themselves, of course. But now I'm much more happy to feel like I belong in the room.
Yeah,
and
great.
That my voice is just as important.
Great. That's so cool.
And I guess that means that I've kind of gone, I feel like I've a little bit grown beyond that idea that I don't want to make people feel bad by being successful.
Yeah.
But then I think if you're worrying about that, you're the last person who's going to make anyone feel bad with your success. Like if that is a genuine worry of yours, then you're probably a very humble, kind, nice person who's going to do everything in their power already to make sure that people around them are, that you're not gloating to people and making them feel bad. Also people
will be triggered.
People are going to be jealous and there's nothing that you can really do about
it. It's not on you. It's not your responsibility. Jealousy is a roadmap and they are seeing exactly where they want to go and it's where you are and you need to leave them to it. And I know it's such an uncomfortable position for you to be in, to be the subject of someone's envy, but it's an important part for that, like for the creator. It's an important journey to go on. Jealousy is a really interesting thing to explore and it's okay that you make others feel jealous.
I mean, I don't feel like the level of success Amy and I have, we feel like we're hugely successful, but I don't really feel like anyone's ever jealous of us. maybe I'm wrong. Have you ever felt jealous?
I mean, I think it's unusual for people to express jealousy to the receiver. I mean,
I think people are like always so amazed that Amy and I are making a living off
our friends, you mean?
Yeah, our friends and our family. What? They're like, what? And they almost look at us, I think, like someone doing a dangerous sport or something. Like, oh, well, nice for some, but I don't want to risk my life. Like if your friend was the world's best base jumper, you'd be like, I'm not jealous.
No,
I'm no way jealous. I'm jumping off that building.
We don't have very many close personal friends who do what we do, though. So it's kind of an environment that doesn't trigger.
Yes.
But, you know, the way we work and the structure that we work, you know, I know Ella has really, really been envious of the way we work as someone who would love that freedom.
You're right. I mean, a lot of people, I think, when they see
the way we live.
Yeah. Just out doing something on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, they're like,
fuck.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you get those little comments. In a nice way, maybe it's a very Australian thing where it's like, oh, lucky for some.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fair enough. Yeah, we are lucky.
We are so blessed and it's such a beautiful life.
Mm.
We've been saying that a lot recently.
Mm.
Just every now and again, bumping into each other in the cottage. This is the best life.
This is the best.
I'm fucking having a great time.
I mean, it sounds cliche, but it is important to be grateful, right?
I mean, I think gratitude is one of the most important practices we can have when we're in success. Just marveling at it and knowing that, you know, it doesn't have to feel like explosive. Like success doesn't have to feel like, you know, every minute of every day is like in awe. But I think that a gratitude practice can ground us in just the delights, the small happinesses, the little miracles that success is bringing us, and that success will bring us in our potential to create more and connect more and see people delight in our own work. Like, be grateful for it and write it down. Like, I have my little miracles journal, which is just around my house. It's a small book, and I just write down things I'm grateful for every day, each day. And that is a practice of how I bask in my successes.
I mean, I always end every journaling session with gratitude. It's compulsory. Even if I'm so tired I can't journal, the one thing I will always do is gratitude.
Of course.
Because
it stops you from, like, and I'm extremely forward thinking and extremely ambitious, and success doesn't stop me looking forward. Like, I have so, you know, I don't move the goalposts in a way that I feel is unhealthy because I have this gratitude practice, because I am able to swim in success. But I am prone to looking forwards.
Yes. Yeah.
This is something I think is also talked about a lot and almost glorified, but in like a negative way. It's like, oh, I'm always on to the next thing. These people, I'm always on to the next thing.
They try and paint themselves as this like noble warrior who's just grinding and grinding and grinding. And they're like, hustle culture, please. It's like a pick me person of hustle culture. It's like, pick me, hustle culture. Well, look at me. I'm the toughest, grindiest one.
It's icky.
And they want to feel like, I think often they want to seem like they deserve their success, even though it's something they're not enjoying. They want to feel like they deserve being picked, or they want to feel like they deserve...
I think it's a guilt response, yeah, almost.
That's what I mean. They're like, oh, I feel guilty for being this successful. I have to show everyone that it's only because I'm the hardest worker and I'm always looking to... And look at me.
It doesn't even feel good.
I'm not even satisfied with this. It actually sucks. And you're all so lucky that you don't have a 10-album deal with a big company and making hundreds of millions of dollars. You're so lucky you're not doing that.
That's what it feels like.
And you're so lucky you're not Spider-Man, because fuck, it sucks to be Spider-Man and you couldn't even imagine it. It's like, dude, take a chill pill.
But also, like, we don't say
that language anymore. I must say, I'm a big supporter of... Anti-anxiety medication.
Oh, I've never thought about that before. Obviously.
Respect to anyone who's taking medication for their mental health.
Especially Amy.
Especially my wife, who also does it.
And needs it. Yeah. I think this is a really interesting conversation, because I actually fucking hate celebrity bashing, and I hate it when, like, so Tom Holland, beautiful boy, has had real big issues with his mental health, and this is off topic, whatever. People respond to it by being like, oh, shut up, you're so rich. And I don't like that. And yeah, I don't think we need to bash celebrities for struggling with this. I just don't think they've been taught how to be successful, which I want to teach people how to be successful. And they haven't been taught, and they're demonstrating something that I think is toxic. And I also think they're like, okay, I can't express it. They're like trying to... It feels like they're trying to gatekeep their success.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even that fun, guys.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't come back here. Don't come out.
No, success isn't even... It's not nice. It's... I'm tired and I never enjoy it. I always look forward to the next thing. Like, I feel like they gatekeep success by not knowing how to enjoy it and not representing it in the way that it can be.
Like, I'd love to see more from celebrities who are like... And I know they're out there who are like, oh, yeah, no, I just didn't take that movie because didn't feel like it needed a rest.
Yeah.
Or
wasn't going to...
I told my label... Nah, they can wait 2 years for my album. I'm taking a break.
Well, Matt Damon recently in a podcast or an interview was talking about how he and his wife in couples therapy had decided he was not going to do any more movies. And the caveat was, unless Mr. Nolan asks me to do a movie. That was the caveat.
Really?
He talks about it was in couples therapy. No, I promise I'm not going to do anything more. It's family time. It's wife time. Unless Christopher Nolan calls me.
He was good
in
that movie.
He did a really good job. Glad they had the caveat.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I love that. And I think it's because people, these big gatekeepers have so much power because there's a story that you can't defy them. Like, and the message in the media is always, oh, what's wrong with this band? They haven't had an album out in 4 years. What's wrong with Patrick Rothfuss? You know, he hasn't written a book for 10 years. Like, he must be, he must be so mentally unwell, or he must be... they must be in dire straits, and it's this huge negative, not like, oh, it's pretty cool, like, hopefully they're taking a break.
Yeah, like,
because then the pressure builds on them. So obviously Patrick Rothfuss is going to end up being incredibly depressed and upset about the fact that he hasn't written a book for 12 years, rather than it just, if it was more the norm.
Yeah,
especially these people who already have plenty of money.
Yeah,
if they just made it more the norm to be like,
no, I'm good,
It's like I always think, I remember saying to my friend, my roommate who was an investment banker when I first moved out of home, and obviously a very different situation we were both in. And I remember saying to him like, okay, so why doesn't everyone in the investment banking world just agree that you'll all stop work at 6? And then the pace would just naturally slow down, and then everyone wouldn't expect their things to be done so fast. And then there'd just be this new natural equilibrium. And he goes, he's like, well, because if one person did it, only all it would take was one person to not go with that rule, and suddenly they'd have a huge advantage and they'd beat us at everything. And I was like, such a shit attitude to have.
It's so terrible.
And also, you don't know they'll beat you.
Again, yeah. Like, what are you doing? You're pulling like 20-hour shifts for what? That can't be good.
Is it? Are you actually performing at your peak? Like, is pumping out an album or a book every year actually, when you don't want to? Are you actually performing at your peak? Like, would you have been better off slowing down?
This is such a big conversation. I think it spans into so many different areas. But I think, yeah. I want delighted, happy, healthy creatives in the world who are just having the successes that they want and being able to have the capacity for joy when they experience them, having their power still at their center, you know, getting their creative autonomy and authority. Like, I don't know. This is something that's just really sitting heavily with me at the moment.
Yeah. It's an interesting conversation. I feel like we don't talk about it enough in these terms. Like, I just don't even know. I think the problem I've had this podcast is there's so little foundation to build on here. There's like the stoic attitude towards it, and there's not really a good mainstream conversation about this at the moment.
No.
And it often ends up being quite toxic, or it ends up being, as you say, like, oh, poor little millionaires, or... But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
It is tricky.
Also, the last thing I wanted to say, unless you want have more that you want to say as well.
Probably, but you go.
Is, and it goes back to, I think, I wonder if we talked about this in our... It's funny, you forget what podcasts you've already done. Like, I've probably done 5 on success or something. We had that one, What If I'm Never Successful?
Yeah.
And what if I talked about it there? But this idea that I already feel very successful.
Same.
Just finishing books.
Yeah.
And also, you had those amazing messages the other day from... You asked your followers, if you on Threads, you said... People who finished a book, what did it feel like? Fucking feels amazing.
That was the best.
It's like, especially for me, when finishing a book feels so good, because almost it's such an intrinsic goal. Like, I've done something that's purely for me and at my core, like, just purely about who I am and what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it feels so amazing. I feel so successful when I finish a book.
Yeah. This thread on Threads, I said, what does it feel like to finish a book? And I was actually half expecting, because I've had this topic on my heart so much. I was like, oh no, they're all going to be like, oh, I felt empty. And every single comment was delighted. They were so happy about finishing a book.
I think a lot of amateurs like me, because there's no external expectation. And in fact, you're going against external expectation. It's like, you feel like you've done something incredible and amazing.
Yeah.
And I think if we could all... And also, I feel successful every day when I've hit my word count. Like, when I hit 500 words, I feel so amazing. Successful.
I mean, and again, another big conversation that comes out of this is like, how do you want to define success? Like, we've looked at it strictly here, obviously, in the like monetary or recognition and like, you know, how many people have got their hands on your art, like that kind of success. And I want to talk about that success, but you can also, you know, define it however you want to define it, and which means you can be basking in success, you know, so much of your life every day, as we do. I've had such a successful morning this morning. Edited a chapter of my book, read a bit of Seth Godin, journaled, did breath work. I'm a fucking winner.
Huge success, honestly. Because, and I want to do a podcast about this soon as well, we often talk about this, but if you can do 30 minutes of focused creative work in a day, you're ahead of almost everyone in the world.
Yeah. It's such a fucking leg up. And
you've done something amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can do 30 minutes of exercise a day, like, it doesn't seem like a lot, but you're ahead of 95% of people in the world.
Unbelievably powerful.
And it doesn't even matter if it's good quality exercise or good quality writing, you're still ahead of everyone. And not to gloat or not to say you're better than anyone, but you've done a good job.
You've done something very impressive. You've done a really good job. Yeah. I feel like that was very raw for me, and I don't feel like I've articulated myself in the way that I really want to, but I'm very grateful for you all holding me space as I kind of navigate this and kind of, I feel like, pick at some old wounds a little bit.
It's really hard to explore these topics through a conversation. I feel like writing is so much easier. I think that's why writing is so valuable, because it really helps me, and I think you, to order your thoughts. And I think that's where so much of your knowledge comes from, is writing thousands of posts on Instagram. And that's just a thought ordering exercise.
Yeah, it is.
Whereas we haven't done so much on this topic, maybe.
No, I mean, it's just really been brewing in my mind. I've written a bit in my journal, but it is more of my mind thing. I think I also do need to talk to you about it, because I need to be seen in some of the pain, I think.
But I feel like if you think about
I feel like I've been gaslit by celebrities. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like if you think about how a lot of our ideas develop, it's like we have a few months of conversation about something and then you start writing posts about it.
Yeah. Well, get ready, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
And yeah. Anyway, thank you for holding space for me. And I'd be, as always, so interested to hear your thoughts.
We said we were going to ask for your support at the end of our episodes, by which we just mean we would love for you, as we said last week, if you could leave a comment or a review, a starred review, if you could share the podcast with friends. That's the only way we really grow. Like, we don't have any organic, there's no push for this podcast. Algorithms don't take it and send it across the world. It's just you guys sharing it with people. Yeah. That's the only way it grows.
When you share it on Instagram, I delight in that. And so if you feel like that aligns with you, like I love to see you guys listening on Instagram particularly.
And if you share it on Instagram, tag Inspired to Write and Unpublished, because the issue with tagging Unpublished is that I'm not allowed Instagram on my phone. And therefore I will only get to your tag probably late once I've like gone through my back doors.
Basically, James is in charge of the Unpublished Instagram, and it's a disaster. I have to take it back. I'm taking it back.
Maybe. Well, right, we have to think of a good system.
Go find joy in the small, beautiful successes that happened for you today. I am so proud of you.
And also, I just wanted to say thank you for listening, because that was the other thing, is that we can be a bit messy and a bit slapdash, but we do really value that you sit here and listen to us and bother to listen to us when we sometimes feel like we're just rambling over here.
Yeah, we're so grateful, so thankful to be in this community of creatives and to get to talk with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today's podcast is sponsored by...
us.
Write Your Fucking Book. A course that is coming out on August 9th. Both me and James have put our hearts and souls into this. 60-something questions. I can't figure out the final number of questions that were asked, but they're 60-something questions about writing a book, how to write a book, how to market your book, how to publish a book are answered in this course.
It's not a craft course. It is a course where, imagine you have your best friend is a writer and they've written, you know, 4 or 5 books, have written way more books than you, and you just started, or you're somewhere along the journey that you don't know, and you are able to sit down with them and have a coffee and ask them a specific question you have about the book, and they just tell you what they do.
Yeah, it is like an almanac of all the frequently asked questions. And if you join in the first month, you can send in questions that you feel like I haven't fully touched on, so I can answer your specific queries individually.
It's really nice.
It's really nice. It's out August 9th. Okay, thank you. Okay, babies. We'll see you next week.
Bye.